Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's Medical Minutes, a podcast where we take you on a fun and factual journey around the human body. I am your host, Dr. Mike Todorovic, and I'm joined by my scientific spouse and buddy of biology, Dr. Matt
and
Barton.
And best friend.
Yeah, colleague. Colleague, Dr. Matthew Barton. How are you, Matty?
Well, thank you.
Good. Now, today we are doing a podcast different from our regular podcast, which is Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's Medical Podcast. That is the scenic route. That's what we take on that podcast. It's sort of a nice long journey through various topics. Here, short, sharp, 20-minute episodes. The premise of this...
I'll hold you to 20 minutes.
Okay, I better hurry up. The purpose or premise of this podcast is we take a fun, exciting, interesting topic. Only one of us prepares. The other one has no idea what the topic is.
Isn't that a standard episode?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we go from there. So today you don't know what the topic is. I've prepared well, I hope. Now, I think what I'll do is I'll drop some hints for you to try and guess what the topic is. So this topic has a number of nom de plumes, so other pseudonyms. Nommy de plummies.
Testicles.
It's not testes. Oh, okay. But let me read some of these out and you tell me if you know what the topic is, okay?
So what are you reading?
So these are other names for this topic.
Like medical?
You'll see.
Okay.
Air biscuit. Bottom burp.
Pause.
One cheek squeak. Cut the cheese. Trump, which probably means a couple of
president.
Things.
Ex-president.
The beef. Booty belch. Brown thunder.
I got it.
Bumps and burner.
Yep.
Duck call. And my favorite one, to drop a Barton. What's the topic today?
Now you've lost me.
Oh, really?
Flatulence. Flatulence? Farting.
Farting. Yeah. Farting, flatulence, flatus. That's today's topic. It's almost a universal physiological thing that we do.
I'm pretty sure it is all universal.
Well.
Are you talking about humans or?
Yes. So all humans do it. Not all animals do it. Most animals do it. And even though all humans do it, a lot of us
don't admit to it.
Yeah, but there is a group of people who really did like to fart and really admitted to farting, and that was soldiers in the dugouts of World War II.
In the trenches.
Now, let me
tell you. Line.
So these guys really did like to fart. I read a published peer-reviewed paper, and it was called Farting on the Front Lines. And it's just a report that compiles all these...
Sounds like a hot air to me.
All these written reports of soldiers on the front lines about bum whistles, about farts, right? So, for example, one soldier tells a tale of a fart master called Pipe Nikolainen, who could not only fart longer and louder than anybody else, but also produced impressive fart flames, which I think is where you fart and light it up, right?
Don't suggest you've never done this.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so one soldier tells the tale of this fart master. A passage that he wrote explains how Pipe once faced a challenger who vowed to fart a bigger flame, but ultimately the challenger had to retreat and defecate outside. So I think
that's like the jewels we have.
Tried too hard, and I think he followed through, Matt.
Oh.
So farting.
Mm.
The way this podcast works is the person who didn't prepare, they need to talk for 1 minute about what they know about the topic. So this segment's called Off the Cuff. So you, not knowing what the topic is, I'm going to get 1 minute up on my phone.
That's a watch.
On my watch phone. And you are going to talk about what you know about farts. Ready and go. Straight from the top of my dome.
It's, I guess the definition is air that's emitted from the anus. I'm guessing that most of the air comes from bacteria within your bowel. I always like comparative anatomy. If I think I remember correctly, there's a snake, particular snake.
Right.
That
I don't know where you're going. You've only got like 30 seconds left.
Okay, this snake doesn't necessarily fart, but it sucks air back into its cloaca. And then holds it there and then farts or pops. I think it's called a popping cloaca, I think. And that then scares its predator away.
So you decided to waste 20 seconds on that. All right.
You know, like my comparative anatomy. And then finally, right at the back end of your passage. Yeah. You spoke about passage.
Yep.
Is the dentate line?
You got 5 seconds.
No, but this is now the end of the topic, so I can finish on this topic.
All right,
is that fair?
60 seconds is up.
I'm not going past this topic.
Okay.
So the dentate line or the pectinate line is a demarcation point that you can then.
Was this in the rectum?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure many how centimeters is in. I should really know that. Maybe 10 centimeters from the opening, from the anus upwards.
Yeah.
There's a line. This is the connection between. Two embryological points anyway. Anything above the line, so closer to the mouth end, when anything comes down, all the neurological sensation would be
distension.
Distension.
Yeah.
So all you would know from those sensations would be there's something coming down. But as soon as it passes the line...
So it could be gas or...
Yeah, anything.
Liquid or solid.
Yep.
All right. It just knows something's coming.
Correct.
Okay.
But past the line, because it derived from the skin embryologically, you have all the same senses as you would have in your skin. So you can sense on your hand if
I'm blowing on it.
If you're blowing on, wind blows past, or if
I don't blow in your hand too often.
Or if water drops onto it, it's a liquid. Or if you hit it with a hammer, let's say.
Or if you pick up a piece of poo, you know it's poo.
Or pick up a golf ball, you know it's a solid, a gas, or a liquid.
Okay.
Same with. Anything below that line is you can discern whether it is a fart
or feces
or a poo or a liquid.
Okay. All right. What?
I was going to add something, but do you want to add something quickly?
Well, I mean, who's the one that prepared here? I thought that you didn't do any preparation.
So no, this is just a side point. I remember a surgeon telling me once that this is a very important thing to retain if you do colorectal surgery. You have to ensure that you keep everything distal to that line intact because it would be quite... debilitating for the patient not to know what's coming down.
Absolutely. I think
you would know
that's
fair.
A fart or feces.
Or diarrhea.
It would be the world's worst game, trying to guess.
Yeah.
All right. So,
did I do okay?
You did well, but you used up all of my time to be able to talk about farts. So now it's my turn. So you've done off the cuff. I'm now doing my segment where I've learned
the
stuff.
What's this segment called?
This is called Teach You a Lesson.
All right, you little rodent. I'm going to teach you a lesson once and for all that you'll never forget. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to teach you a lesson, and you
on
can
farting.
You can ask questions, you can interrupt if you like,
which I'm good at,
but keep it to a minimum.
You have 13 minutes.
Okay. Farts, like you said, are gases that are expelled from the anus. The question then is,
right,
what are the gases? So the main gases are going to be oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, methane, hydrogen sulfide.
Okay. You prepared well.
And I think that's it. Nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, methane, and hydrogen sulfide.
Okay.
So they're the main gases. Now, the main way that we produce these gases, so the oxygen and nitrogen, we inspire. So usually we breathe it in and breathe it out, right? But we can breathe in and we can suck the air, not into our trachea and lungs, but down the esophagus and into the stomach. Whilst you're eating, whilst you're talking, whilst you're drinking, most of that gets belched or burped back up,
right,
but some of it can continue through.
Get past.
Right? The rest of it...
Is there a point of no return?
Yeah, I'll probably say once it gets into the... Start moving through the intestines, start moving through the duodenum.
That's 7 meters.
Past the duodenum.
Okay, sorry, around the duodenum.
Oh, I think so. I'm guessing here.
Okay. You haven't looked into this.
Okay.
Did you say you're prepared?
Yeah, I prepared really well. The rest of it, so methane, hydrogen, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen sulfide, that's produced mostly by the gut bacteria.
All right.
That's present. And the further you move through the gut, more distally, mm-hmm, the more bacteria is present.
All right.
That's the first thing. Second thing is, of these gases, your farts, well, you'll find that the oxygen that comes out in your farts makes up only 4% of a fart is oxygen.
Ah.
Nitrogen, 60% of a fart.
Nitrogen.
Yeah, so nitrogen, you breathe
What's
in.
It normally in the air?
70? About 65, 64?
I thought it was 70 something.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe 74. It's one or the other. So 60% nitrogen in a fart, 4% oxygen, 20% hydrogen, 9% carbon dioxide, and 7% methane. And then it's...
Does the methane smell?
A little bit. Not okay. As much as the hydrogen sulfide.
So that's the one that stinks.
Yes. But that's only 0.0003% of a fart.
Bugger all.
That's right. And what produces this is the gut bacteria.
And all of them. Oh, besides what you breathe in.
Correct. Mm. So what you'll find is if we move, so oxygen, nitrogen, breathe in, can swallow. Interestingly enough, if you drink a cup of water, you'll get...
Which I just did.
You can swallow twice as much gas than the liquid that you ingest. So if you just drank 200 mils of water, you'll get 400 mils into your stomach. Jeez. But mostly you'll burp that up. Food can contain gases. So theoretically, an apple is 20% gas. Right, so you could get gas from that apple. Otherwise,
just in the apple itself,
yeah,
not what's produced from it.
Correct. And also like carbonated beverages, right? That's full of gas. So you can get it from the foods and drinks and how you inspire and so forth. But once you get to the stomach, first proper part of the digestive tract, acid will bind that you're producing in the stomach will bind
HCl.
To, yep, that's hydrochloric acid, will bind to bicarbonate to neutralize it, but produce carbon dioxide, which is a gas. As
so
a
that's
byproduct.
In the small intestine.
That's in the small intestine.
Duodenum.
The other thing to take note here is when you ingest foods like fats, that's made up of fatty acids.
Mm.
And so a mixture between ingesting fats and producing acids, you'll produce a whole bunch of acid, which needs to be neutralized by bicarbonate. You can actually produce up to 3 liters of carbon dioxide throughout a meal, which is consistently burped or pushed through into flatulence. Or farts.
Okay.
As we move through, you've got the bacteria. Bacteria is...
Having parties.
That's right. And what they're having parties with is all the undigested food.
Which is what?
So you've got proteins, fats, and carbs, right?
Yeah.
They're breaking their macromolecules. They need to be broken down into their micronutrients. So carbohydrates into glucose, galactose, fructose, and then they get absorbed through the gut wall into the bloodstream.
Yep.
If they're not broken down by a certain point, the gut bacteria... are going to break it down. And up to 40
so
grams.
What kind of like starches and
yep.
insoluble fiber? Yeah. Fiber.
It can be some monosaccharides, disaccharides, polysaccharides.
Okay.
Right? And there's different types. Heaps
so like
too
things
many
like cabbage and beans and...
Fermentable.
Oh, they're fermentable.
Yeah. Okay. So the more fermentable they are, the more gas they'll produce. So
musical fruit.
You got indigestible, fermentable carbohydrates. And by the time they hit the bacteria... Yummy, yummy. Methane production,
so
hydrogen
is it,
gas production,
so is it the
carbon
food,
dioxide.
Is it the food type that changes the smell slash the quantity, or is it the bacteria type that does that?
Well, food type predominantly. So yeah. Proteins, mainly proteins produce the sulfides because you've got sulfated amino acids. So what you'll find is 40 grams of carbohydrates are undigested by the time it reaches the bacteria. Yummy, yummy. They can start producing all the gases. Around about 10% of proteins go undigested. Yummy, yummy. And then about 7% of fats go undigested, and then bacteria, yummy, yummy. And then they produce all these gases. It's the proteins that are sulfated.
That so make the smell.
That's right. That make the smell. So more proteins, more smell.
So you have 5 hard-boiled eggs a day. That's a lot of sulfur.
My wife makes me go to work early. And my office, not the best time to have a meeting.
As a charcoaled filter.
In my seat. So that's basically how it's all produced.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Yes. So the hydrogen sulfide are the stinky ones.
Yes.
Is it true that people generally like the smell of their own fart but not others?
Well, what I've heard here, what I've heard, and this has to do with the hydrogen sulfide,
yeah,
right, is that interestingly, there is a small percentage of gas in your farts that actually comes from your bloodstream, where gas dissolves from the bloodstream into the hollow lumen of your gut and you fart it out. But also gas goes in the opposite direction.
Right.
So the hydrogen sulfide you produce in the gut can actually move into the bloodstream. And from there, it's a gas. It's going to get exchanged at the lungs and you breathe it out. And so if you're breathing out hydrogen sulfide, you get used to that smell, desensitized to it.
Oh,
therefore, when you fart, you're like, well, it doesn't smell that bad, but everyone else is dropping dead behind you.
So when you fart, are you actually farting out poo particles?
Well, something has to give that smell, which is a molecule.
Mm.
And it's strange that the molecule that smells like a fart also smells like a turd because yeah, it's the same molecules.
Right.
So yes, it's coming out. And interestingly, Dr. Carl, people who are listening may or may not have heard, but
in Australia,
a listener called up. He does this thing like what we do. Calls up, person
just
said,
a lot better.
A person called up and said, look, I'm a nurse. I work in an operating theatre. If I fart, am I breaking the sterile boundaries here? Should I be holding my farts in? And he said, I don't know. But a scientific thinking listener performed the experiment. And he got some agar plates.
Farted in an operating theatre.
Yeah, he just broke into the local hospital, found the sterile environment and just let go. Dropped a Barton. He got agar plates.
I didn't follow through.
Farted on the agar plates with pants on and with pants off, and saw that with pants off, there was a wider splatter zone.
Oh.
And with the pants on, it minimized the particles, but there were still particles. So yes,
so it's
when
like
you fart, poo particles are coming
like
out.
Like a mask. Acts like a mask.
Yeah, your like trouser
a surgical mask.
Yeah, wear your trouser masks.
Okay.
Right. What? Do you have any other questions?
Otherwise,
I've got a pop quiz for you, Matt.
Well, any cool animals? Were you going to ask me some questions with animals?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Does it fart? I've got some questions about it. Do these animals fart? Right?
Okay.
Kangaroo.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Octopus.
It eats fish. Yes.
No, octopus don't fart. Or octopuses. Millipedes.
No.
Yes, it does, but its bum's so far from its mouth, it doesn't smell it. Coral snake.
Which hole is between which leg?
Good question. Yes, it does.
So what was
yeah, coral snake does. Birds.
Yeah.
No, birds don't fart.
Really?
I think so. This is what I read.
I'm going to leave a recorder down in my chicken coop.
All right, we're gonna. Yeah, you'll just hear your wife farting as she goes down to feed the chickens. All right, so pop quiz.
Okay.
All right, pop quiz for you.
So what's this? Asking questions.
This is our last segment. Yeah, last segment. We do a pop quiz where I ask you questions about what I've just taught you in our lesson. Right. All right.
I feel like Bruce Willis.
In what?
Isn't it a pop quiz with Die Hard?
Never heard of it.
I'm sure he called up and said pop quiz.
Oh yeah. That's right, he does, to the bad guy.
Not Bruce Willis. Anyway.
No, I think you might be right. Anyway, pop quiz.
Pop-up gets a treat.
The mere fact that you call him Pop-up tells me you're not ready.
The soldier, Pipe Nicolainen, was also known as the what?
Fart Master.
Bing, bing. Correct. What does acid bind with to produce carbon dioxide in the stomach?
I don't know if it binds in the stomach.
And intestines.
Yeah. Bicarbonate.
Bing, bing. Good job. What percentage of fats, farts are carbon dioxide?
5%.
9%, moron. I didn't get to talk about this.
Okay. Can't ask it then.
Let me just quickly state a fact then. I'll answer the question. The question is, methane can act as a gasotransmitter. What is a gasotransmitter? So the gas that's produced, some can act like a transmitter in the sense that it can bind to receptors on cells and have physiological effects.
Like a neurotransmitter?
Like a neurotransmitter. So for example, when the bacteria produces methane, when methane levels go up in the bowel, it stops fermentation of other bacteria. It tells them we're producing too much, stop. But also tells the gut to slow down. So it reduces motility. That's a gasotransmitter.
What if they all get gassed out? There was a flight, I forget in how long ago it was, but they were on a relatively
flight.
Yeah, relatively
in the air, in a plane.
In a plane.
Yeah. Relatively, people were sitting on seats.
Well, I'm not sure if it was a passenger one, but anyway. The smoke alarm, I guess, went off. Probably not smoke, maybe it's
fire
a
alarm?
Maybe it's a gas alarm or something.
Gas leak.
It went off in the cargo hold and they had to do an emergency landing. And they landed and blah, blah, blah. And they had a look and they couldn't find any fire. But what they had were like heaps of goats on board.
And what were they doing, Matt?
Well, I think when you go at altitude, because the pressure changes and the gas will expand.
Yeah, because the pressure drops.
Yeah, they'll fart in or burp in a lot.
Wow.
A heap of methane.
Wow.
And probably CO2. And the alarms went
off. Sent the alarms off. Does this happen? You've got goats. So does this happen with your goats?
I don't generally take them when I fly.
Have you ever heard your goats fart?
No, they do a lot of burping. I think because they're foregut fermenters, they do.
All right. Well, okay. Last question. I didn't ask this question. How many times do we fart a day? I want you to guess.
I've calculated.
Okay.
12.
No, 14 plus or minus 4.
Well, that's in the range.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Okay. You get that. Between 12 to what? 18. How much gas wise farts? Do you think we produce?
Comes out the back end?
Yeah. Per day.
Enough to blow up a balloon?
1 to 2 liters? You reckon a balloon's 1 to 2 liters? Probably. I'd hate to think that that's a
yours is the
helium.
Yeah. Well, yours is a Heidenberg balloon in Germany. that's all hydrogen, though.
Wasn't that called the...
Yeah, I forget the name of
it. Hindenburg? Now you've buggered it up for me. Now I don't know because you said the wrong name.
Correct us.
Yeah,
listeners.
Correct us. Anyway, fart facts are right. Our facts on German air balloons are not. Just say Lufthansa.
It didn't end well.
No, because that was hydrogen.
That was hydrogen.
Yeah. Mm. Flammable. Fart flames.
All right.
We're done. So hope everyone enjoyed our segment. This is going to be the podcast from now on.
21 minutes. Well,
definitely
done.
A lot quicker. If you want to contact us, you can listen to our regular long-form podcast, Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's Medical Podcast. You can contact me, Dr. Mike, on Instagram at Dr. Mike Todorovic, DrMiketodorovic.
Send him activated charcoal underpants.
Please don't. I've got enough.
Because I share an office occasionally with him and after 5 boiled eggs.
I need it. I need to wear two pairs.
It's like a cargo hold
filled with Armenian goats. You can contact me on Twitter, same handle. You can email us at GU Biosciences. Matt's not on social media.
I left it.
He's a social media Bedouin. He just wanders the internet without no name. All right. Thank you, everybody.
See you next time, Mike.
Thanks.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.